Well, hello again, everybody. It's 3-2-1 Bake Off. We're doing episode 9. I'm sitting here editing things and recording stuff through my phone using Anchor, who is our sponsor. Make sure you go to culinaryconvo.com. Try to sign up for the newsletter. It's on our homepage at the very middle. Also, check us out on YouTube, where we're posting videos. On the newsletter, I'm going to start posting videos, but we already got our Pinterest with the recipes and everything else. So sign up. That way you can get everything sent to your email inbox. But also, let's get ready for week 9, Patisserie Week, in the tent of the Great British Baking Show. We're getting down to it because it is the semifinal. We are almost at the final, folks. And let's get to that after a word from our sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 3-2-1.
Bake Off.
And we are in the tent for week 9, episode 9. We're on the nerdsandbeyond.com recap by Lynette for Patisserie Week.
Patisserie Week.
Patisserie Week.
Patisserie Wee-Wee.
Wee-Wee. And you can hear our special guest in our tent here is Marissa.
Hi.
Yeah. So, we're in the tent. As you mentioned, we've been playing baseball, MLB The Show 22.
Lots of cooking in there. Lots of cooking and baking. Making sure our team stays fed with a lot of good ganouches and mousses and jellies and
vol-au-vents.
Biscuits.
Yeah.
No gravy, though.
No gravy. But yeah. Yeah. Well, the main thing is that Patisserie Week, hard to know what's going to be coming down the pike. I just expect small baked goods.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I expect. And yeah, we're down to the final four. This is the semifinal. So far, who has been your top?
Well, this is going to be embarrassing. Actually, maybe I remember his name. I don't know. The Irish guy. I really liked him. Yep.
Kevin.
I was going to say James, but that's the other one.
I think so, yeah.
Kevin had the Irish accent that I really loved. And I also just thought he was like a very sweet person. So I was sad to see him go. And that made Yanus and then Shabira my top two. And I also really liked Maxie. But as it goes for any competition show, your favorite is probably not going to stay.
I know. It's tough. It's very rough. Like I said, for me, it has been Sandro, Shabira, all of Kaylee's. Every time she says she has a favorite, they leave.
Yep.
And we'll see if the curse still keeps going.
Probably.
Maybe. Yeah. We just got done watching the show not too long ago. And let's just say that it was a bit of a crazy week. So, as Lynette states here, they will face 3 patisserie-themed challenges to compete for the title of Star Baker. First up was the Signature Challenge. They had to bake a batch of 6 identical mini Charlottes. They had 2.5 hours to make the desserts consistent of a set filling encased in sponge. And sometimes you could tie a bow on it. If you're very fancy, you have built such a structure that it can contain itself. but you had to use usually some type of gelatin or a mousse, right, to have it set. Sandro made mini Charlottes that were not mini. They were
pretty big.
Pretty big, yeah. They had layers of banana sponge coated in caramel and peanuts, peanut and caramel mousses, and then a caramel chocolate ganache and caramel sauce, and it was encased with jacquard sponge and topped with praline crumble and a patisserie cream. Yeah. The judges were worried that he had taken on too much, as he's done all season, and that he may not finish in time. He did manage to finish, but they were a little clumsy and rushed towards the end, which I kind of got that feeling, but not like in a bad way. No, it just seemed like he was in a hurry.
I'm going to make a hot take right now that there's a lot of complaints towards the contestants that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
But to sort of go back on that, I am not an expert baker, so I have no right of exclaiming my opinion here because I'm not the professional, and I know that. But I personally, and maybe this is just because I'm an American, a filthy, filthy American, I wasn't bothered by him sort of making it messy towards the end,
right,
and then also him making it larger than what they wanted.
Yeah,
because I know that's one thing they commented about. They were like, "Ooh, these are very big."
Yeah.
Very big patisserie.
As if getting more, especially with how much he was making, was a bad thing.
But I guess it makes sense then, like, such an extravagant dessert like that, especially with all the ingredients he would make, I don't think I could survive more than, like, three bites without passing out.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, if you bought that at a restaurant or a bakery of some kind, you would share it.
Or take it home and then... Yeah. Keep it in your fridge, and it would haunt you.
Right, yeah.
You would be like, I can eat more tonight.
Yeah.
My tummy hurts.
I can control myself with this.
I have Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah. The layers inside were beautiful and soft, although the peanut layer was a little gluey due to too much gelatin. Judge Prue Leith said his banana sponge was one of the best sponges she had eaten.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. She goes to all the local London stores and buys sponges and just eats them. Not the cake, but actual sponges. And so she knows. She knows.
She goes into the ocean and harvests her own sponges. And she's like, maybe this one will be my favorite.
Yeah. I hope this is good as Sandra. She'll be chasing that the rest of her life. But Janus, he made many charlottes that included plum and dark chocolate mousses encased by chocolate jacquard sponge fingers and topped with a hazelnut custard dome, which no mention of the dome, really, like at all. They didn't talk about it that much. The judges thought that they looked a little untidy because he tied the ribbons too tight around the sponges and it broke some of the fingers. The judges loved his combination of flavors. His plum mousse was set nicely, but his chocolate mousse was not set. It had no setting agent, and his sponge was quite tough. Yeah, and like I said, no mention of the hazelnut custard dome. They didn't say anything about the dome.
I find it kind of hurtful that they say it looks messy.
Yeah,
because that might be one of the cutest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's pretty. Like, it's got the chocolate sponges on the outside, the lady fingers, and then it has flowers over the top. His was by far probably the prettiest.
That would be served at a wedding.
Right.
And you would be like, wow, I'm so glad I came.
Yeah.
Dang, not even for the wedding, but just for this tiny dessert.
Yeah. Can't believe whoever made this. Bravo. little golf claps. Shabira made peanut butter and berry mini charlottes. And me, you, Kaylee, we all said, this is where the British baking show shows that maybe they don't go to the United States ever. Because they acted like putting peanut butter with any type of fruit or berry was like sacrilegious, awful, bad. When in reality, it's like that is a PB&J. That's all that is. Like strawberry jelly, grape jelly. Orange marmalade, some people even do, which I find a little weird, but still, like, yeah. Prue was just like, I could have never imagined this creativity. And it's like, there are 6-year-olds in the United States that are like, I want that creativity every day for lunch, and my mom makes it for me. But anyway, Shabira, knocking it out of the park again. They had layers of blackberry, strawberry, and peanut butter cheesecakes encased by Savoyard sponge fingers and topped with a strawberry flower. Yeah, she cut it into little, like, petals, and it looked like a flower.
Her dessert was so cute.
It was, yeah. The judges seemed a little skeptical, but they won them over. They thought it was unusual, but that it worked. Her desserts were also very pretty and elegant. However, her blackberry and strawberry cheesecakes weren't quite set enough.
I don't understand the unusual part.
Like I said, they don't go to America. They just don't. See, that guy is trying to get to America now. You can hear him.
Yeah, he is a cool American Jeep.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's like I said, they obviously don't go to like Southeast countries or Southeast Asian countries or America that often, even though they did s'mores, which is totally an American thing. Yeah. But it's just like,
and Halloween.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, sorry. Halloween, just like, never mind. I take back that comment.
I guess, yeah. But Abdul, he made a tiramisu inspired mini charlottes. His desserts had layers of pistachio mascarpone cream and coffee creme chabouze. Surrounded by sponge lady fingers and topped with chocolate decoration, he was very aware that since his flavors were simple, he needed to make every element perfect. As a result, he spent a lot of time doing this and ran out of time to decorate it. His no ribbon. No ribbon. He left it open to the elements. Yeah. They thought that everything else, they said his mini charlottes looked messy, but everything else was perfect. The judges loved the flavors and textures. It just wasn't quite up to patisserie standards.
Mm. Yeah. I do like his ideas that he comes up with.
Totally.
I think he's a very good, like, on-the-spot sort of brain thinker.
Yeah. So, like I said, I love tiramisu. Then you add pistachios to that as, like, it's just like it was like a little hint of like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. Shabira's like, I'm coming out of left field and you're gonna like all of what I'm coming with, and Abdul's like, I'm gonna grab a classic and add a little Abdul twist, you know. But the technical challenge, the bakers were given 2 hours to make four identical chocolate hazelnut and vertical raspberry tarts. Which, by the name itself, it's like, what the heck is that? The judges were expecting a ring of sweet short crust pastry, a semicircle of chocolate hazelnut mousse, topped with a layer of raspberry jelly, and decorated with whipped cream, raspberries, tempered chocolate discs, and gold leaf. The judges ranked the bakes from worst to best in a blind judging, not knowing which tarts belonged to which baker. Really, Sandro had the toughest time with this. He thought that you fill the whole pastry ring with chocolate. He thought when they said cut them in half that you grab your chocolate ganache and you just cut the entire disc like into two separate discs, when in reality you're supposed to cut it like across ways, so you have two semicircles cut basically only going halfway in your circle pastry. And he didn't look around. He was so focused on what he was doing that he didn't notice that everybody else did it the right way. And he was like, well, where am I supposed to put this jelly? And he like put it across the whole thing. And I think that's when it clicked of like, this looks stupid. Why am I doing this? And it's like, Sandro, just lift your head up a little bit.
Well, I almost wonder, because he seems to have like a, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze Great British Bake Off contestants on the spot, but he seems to want to like organize details and keep them very, very, very to his plan. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if he was experiencing like a lot of mental anguish over this is not going right. And because personally for me, reading directions on a piece of paper, no,
not fun.
And doing that with something so tough as baking, I completely like feel him on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm never gonna make a vertical tart because personally I would rather just make like brownies or something,
right?
But I wonder if he didn't look around because he was so
focused,
ashamed of himself. But
yeah,
I hope he doesn't carry that.
Yeah, probably not. I'm hoping he doesn't. He mentioned it was his reading comprehension. Like, he read the directions too fast, and he didn't realize that it said, put your pastry up on end. And so he was like, oh, like vertical, whatever. And it's like, and that's the thing, is I think for him, he was thinking, this is a technical challenge. this is something that a lot of people have seen and tried, and this is like a basic of baking whatever. And so you're not expecting this like art piece of a patisserie. Like you're because it does, it looks like a little, like, I don't know, statue or art piece of like a, it's so crazy looking.
I almost don't like the challenge. I don't know.
I know,
because it's kind of like, can you really judge somebody on a recipe they've never seen before?
Yeah. And it's one of those things, to me, the technical challenge, I think the technical challenge works really well if you have either someone describing it to you and you have to bake what you're being described, right?
Yeah.
Or, and not written down, but verbally, right? Or it's, like you mentioned, technical, to me, you have to give them the full recipe.
I almost feel like it should have been a visual presentation where they watched somebody bake it at the beginning instead of just giving them a piece of paper and being like, make it perfect or else you're going home.
Well, and especially when the instructions are intentionally obstructed.
Yeah, it's almost like reading a science lab experiment. Right. Like, put this in the vial. Make sure it doesn't explode or else your whole experiment is ruined.
Right.
It's like, I wouldn't want to judge somebody on that.
Yeah. And because they don't say the amounts. Yeah. They don't say the time. They don't say the temperature.
I feel like it's trying to mimic how working in baking life, you have to be very on the spot and like very in tune with getting stuff you've never seen before. But I feel like for a competition show, that doesn't, it just, there was something there that I did not like, and I did not like watching somebody like Sandro getting judged over.
Yeah.
Or just any of the contestants, because it's hard. And it's hard to make a vertical tart without ever seeing it before.
Right. Yeah. Knowing what it is. Yeah. How are you supposed to guess that? And that's the thing, is like, I think in seasons past, the other frustration is that sometimes the technical is used solely as the reason why somebody gets sent home. Like, oh, they were in last place in the technical and they were towards the bottom on the signature. And then their showstopper was okay, but they got last in the technical. And you're like, oh, dang, like they really care about that technical. And then there's other times that people have gotten last in the technical, but they did great in the signature and the showstopper. And they're like, oh, yeah, they're safe. And you're like, why? Like, you acted like the technical was so important for this one person. Like, what is going on? And it's like, well, because they had other areas where they were also low, but this person did really good in these two things. And you're like, that doesn't make up the entire ground, though. Like, there's no way. And then later, what I've noticed, when you start to go down in the technical, but you're doing well, like really good on the signature or showstoppers, you're probably at least going to make it in the top five or six.
Yeah.
And to me, it's one of those things, if you kind of know the formula of the technical challenge, then why have it? Because everybody's going to try to compete that way, right? Like, I'm not going to try to get first in the technical. I just need to not be last. Right. And if I am last, well, it looks like my signature and showstopper need to be just
amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, we digress. The challenge was difficult for several reasons, one of which was the bakers had no idea what these tarts were supposed to look like. Another was creating the right texture for the mousse, which two people screwed up the mousse hard. It was like brick. It was like they hit it with a spoon. Which was created using a whisked meringue. If the bakers undermixed the mousse, they would have mousse dotted with egg whites. But if overmixed, it would knock the air out of the mousse and become solid like a ganache, which that was what the other two were. They were ganaches at that point. They had no air left in them. Most of the bakers didn't realize that when they baked their rings of pastry, they could have put rice in the middle to help the pastry hold its shape. Only Shabira did this.
I thought...
So, Janus, wasn't it? Or was it Abdul?
It was Janus.
Yeah, Janus. He did it, but he didn't put, what do they call it, parchment paper. So, rice got stuck in his pastry.
It's hard. It's hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, because that's a lot of like individual little steps for one thing.
He clearly knew what to do. It was just one thing.
Yeah, and a time limit. That's the other thing. A lot of these like cooking or baking shows, they add a time limit, I think, because they're shooting it,
mm-hmm.
right? They're like, oh, we've got to film it, so we got to put a time limit on. Plus, it adds like suspense, when in reality it's like if you're a chef or you're cooking, there's like a timeline or a time you're trying to hit, but it's something that's slightly flexible and you're fine with it. And that's why some of these shows I'm kind of like, what the heck? And that's why Top Chef, what I like about it, they do timed ones, but then there's other ones where it's like an event. And so they tell you, like, we're going to give you the rest of today and then the whole beginning of tomorrow to prep and cook and do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like forged in iron or something. Forged by fire. That one show where they take the smelters and, like, they create their own stuff. They give them, and I know it's different.
Right.
Baking and working with metal, but they still give them days to like work on their stuff, and it's hard.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, I think that Prue and Paul, they know that if you're going to create like some signature dish or signature bake or what have you, not only have you practiced it and honed it like a lot over time, but you're not putting a time limit on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like, some of this stuff is going to take a while, but it's going to blow your mind, like how good it is. And yeah, I don't know, it's like the opposite of a technical, but anyways, Sandro didn't put rice in his pastry ring and his pastry held its shape. He was like all good until it was putting it together. He made every element of it really well, and then it was like he was trying to put it together, and like we were saying, he got confused, and that's when like everything got dismantled for him. But they said that he added extra fluid to his jelly, so his jelly didn't set all the way. He struggled with the instructions. However, his pastry was very good. Janusz, he came in third as his pastry was slightly underbaked, and Abdul came in second because his rings were slightly overbaked. Shabira was praised as her pastry was neat and her tarts looked amazing. Her mousse had also been overmixed and was more like a ganache, but her tarts were delicious. And this landed her a first place finish.
When I watch Shabira just like work through these technicals and the one before that I'm forgetting the name of, before the signature challenge, the show of? I don't know. Anyway, I watch her and it's just like, I think she should win right now.
Right.
Just give her the award because she's been on a hot streak. And it's also really fun to watch her because of she's a very smart baker, and that's something that I really admire about her. She's very good with, like, technical stuff.
Right.
And I feel like the challenge, the type of challenge only really works with her in this show.
Yeah.
For her remaining in the cast right now, because she's the one that always can sort of get through it.
Mm-hmm.
She's just very, like, a very collected baker.
Right.
Which is very fun to watch.
Yeah. She is very organized and making it look smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Sandro is very organized, but from time to time, they film him looking at, like, his instruction sheet of what he has to do. And could be editing, right? Could be Shabira's doing the same thing and we just don't know, right?
They're making her look perfect. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, they're making it look like she has it all up here.
Even in the early stages, everything looks amazing. It's like, wow.
Right. It just makes it look like she's rolling it out of her head as it goes. And so she just knows what the game plan is every single time. She's like, I'm going to do this and then this and then this and then this. And it's like, down pat for her, while literally everybody else, Abdul, Yanush, you know, Carol back in the day, Dawn, it was like, well, I'm trying to make sure that my oven's on and I got the bow and that,
it's very on the spot baking versus a very calculating, calculated baking.
Yeah, yeah. And so we moved on to the showstopper. At the semifinal, I'm not going to lie, as we were watching this, all I could think in my head was, I like all four of these people. Abdul, he's been kind of the hidden one. He's kind of flown under the radar like this entire, you know, season. And he's always done, he's always been not middle of the road, but like almost a little bit above the middle road. He's always just been there, kind of been consistent.
It feels like his path has been very...
up and down.
Yeah, but yeah. Then also, like, you don't really notice that.
Right.
Because he recovers very
well.
Yeah,
yeah. His recoveries are what, like, keep him out of those discussions, I think, of like, oh, he is the bottom, right? Like, he recovers. It's like, oh, I got last in the technical? Yeah. Oh, what do you know? The showstopper, I made the best one. And you're like, dang it, Abdul. How did you do this? But yeah, for the showstopper, it was it's croquant, which is a Swedish wedding dessert. It's a multi-tiered dessert, and it's made from almond biscuits with intricate marzipan, icing, and sugarwork decoration. The judges were expecting the biscuits to be crisp on the outside and chewy in the middle. They needed to produce a structure at least 60 centimeters tall. And for it to be structurally sound, it was a challenge for the bakers to find the right balance between the chewiness of the biscuit and being strong enough to be stable for a structure, British Bake Off, they tweeted, which we'll see how long Twitter lasts, release the croquant. Take a closer look at the beautifully designed semifinal showstoppers. Abdul did a rocket.
Yeah, it was inspired by space. Yeah, and I think he commented that was one of his passions in life,
right.
Just like outer space and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. I like that idea.
Well, and I liked his little like glass window looking things, you know, and it was neat, and it was like all four corners as well, like he had the segments.
It was very cool.
Yeah, and then Shabira did a DNA strand,
which is crazy
nuts.
Like she replicated the structure of a DNA strand that you would like see in a model in class or just online. It's like she made over 50 biscuits for it or something.
Yeah.
What was it, 4 hours? Six hours?
Yeah, four. Let me see if it tells me the time here.
Maybe below.
It was like, I was going to say, Janus made a Brighton.
Nah, it doesn't say the time.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like
I would guess four hours or five hours. I don't really know. But it's just like, still, 50 biscuits in that amount of time. It's just, she's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy. I like the thing that I found particularly like she did the chromosomes on the bottom and had that as a ring of her base. She had a base biscuit layer thing, and then she had the DNA strands, and she talked about how, oh, well, when I was practicing this, I made it four times. Three times it fell over, and then the fourth time, the final time, it stayed up. Like, I figured out that I have to balance it and I have to do all this stuff. And all I could think in my head was most bakers, probably after the second, if not the third time trying to make it, you basically in your head just go, I'm going to be like, you know, I don't know, Tom Brady or Mariota or whatever. I'm going to scramble and I'm going to figure out what I can do, but I'm not doing this DNA strand because I've screwed it up. Like maybe I'll do a giraffe that has a thing like, but she was like, I think whatever happened the second or third time, she knew in her head, like all I've got to do is tweak this, tweak that. And it's going to work.
You could see her almost the architectural part of it.
Right. Yeah.
She had to put a something leveler in the middle, something you would see to hold a cake.
Right.
That's very upright.
A dowel rod.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was very, She just has like such a cool blending of science, culture,
yeah,
art, all into each of her things that she bakes.
Yeah. And like you mentioned earlier, of her not only being really good and smooth and organized, and she makes it look like way too easy type of deal, but like, this is where it was fun to watch her like make the stuff, because not only is she describing the way that she's thinking about it and going through it, but it also was just cool to see that really nobody else was rolling their like biscuit things for the croquant. They weren't rolling it into little like rolls. Pretty much everybody else made like sheet pan type of whatever. And then you have to structure it up with caramel and all this other stuff. And she was like, no, 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 no. Like, I'll do a caramel or whatever, but it's going to be in between certain layers. And it's like, what the f-?
It was interesting to like see the difference in the structure of her croquant versus everybody else's. And you could tell that the caramel is super hard to work with.
Right.
And it's, I think that was one of her advantages to go with something firm in the middle to sort of build around.
Yeah. And then Janusz did a Brighton Pride little tower. So he had basically, he tried to do pink and blue hearts in the middle for the transgender community.
He didn't try. He did do it.
Well, I say try because in this picture, it looks just red.
I think it's just the lighting.
Is it?
If you press it to go full screen.
Oh, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Am I going to get embarrassed?
Press the link.
Oh, see? Okay, hold on. The one on the left looks pink.
It's just their shadow on the one on the right.
Yeah, okay, fine. He did do it. He did it. Janusz, he made a transgender affirming middle layer with little hearts that were like a baby blue and then the pink. Then you've got on the top, it was for Asian, and it was Southeast Asian and
black communities.
Yeah. And then the very bottom was a rainbow flag stained glass looking type of thing with sugar work. And it just looked cool.
Yeah.
And
they didn't like it.
Yeah, they didn't really like it.
No. I was joking that I was like, oh, wow, they're defiling this piece of art.
Hate crime.
Just as a joke, though, because I know. But yeah, no, I loved his concept. And I'm if he was given more time.
I know. Yeah, because honestly, the actual structural part of it, I felt like he nailed that. It was more of the finer details that. Yeah,
and you can tell that he did like a really good job working with the pieces he created. He didn't do anything to modify them to make it easier.
Right.
He stuck with his original plan, and especially with the hearts being sort of large, he angled them so they would fit into the structure. He didn't do anything to like make it sheep, like laying it flat on the surface, which would have been a lot easier. Yeah. He tried to add dimension, and it's just, it's sad that the caramel and just like putting it together is so difficult. Yeah. And you can't, obviously you can pull stuff off, as we will see with Sandro, and then as we have seen with Abdul and Shabira. But I think just with Yunus's structure and his idea, it needed more time compared to the others.
Well, and the thing that I noticed with Yanusha's and then also with Sandro's, which we'll go over here in a second, the problem with this type of like biscuit, I was talking to Kaylee about it, about how macarons, they have the almond flour, and almond flour, it's an amazingly good flavor. It's kind of cake battery in a way. It tastes like that, but macarons are the same way, where it's this hard crystal shattering layer, but then the inside is supposed to be kind of doughy a little bit and like floofy. And it's hard because you could bake it, and when it's fresh out of the oven, you're like, perfect. It's got the shattery top, and you bite into it, and you're like, oh, well, you have to let some of that stuff set. And when it sets, sometimes that crystal layer just, it softens. And then the inside that was like good and mushy and whatever, it is now just hard. It's dried out. Like whatever temperature you use for that, it kept baking when you took it out. And so when it was perfect when you took it out, so it's almost like a trick where when you take it out, it has to be close to perfect. The bake continues, and then it will be perfect later. Right. And that is so hard to do. I don't care how good of a baker you are. That is so hard to do.
I remember asking you, I was like, can you ever imagine doing this?
And yeah, I'm not a baker. Yeah.
I would never try. I don't think I would even try. Somebody would have to probably like pay me or buy me like an inspirational coach for me to like get in.
A psychologist.
Yeah, if I was on this show and if they gave me this challenge, I would make a circle and be like, it's a tree.
Yeah, it's a tree. It's a tree that has fallen in a forest. You're welcome.
And it got rolled by the thing you call.
Yeah.
Because I'm a baker and I know the terms for this thing in my hand.
Right, Paul?
Yeah. Paul Hollywood would look at me with his crystal blue eyes and he would be like, why are you here?
Yeah. How did you pass our rigorous background checks?
Let you in.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I don't know, Paul.
Yeah. See, I always wondered if like Prue or Mary back in the day or Paul, if they've ever walked by a contestant and just kind of looked over at them and then whispered without any cameras catching it, just, you know, you don't belong. And then they keep walking and he's like, did Paul just say that?
I feel like that happens to Kevin.
Yeah.
That's why he was so rattled all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Just Prue walks by and is like, oh, I love alcohol treats. It's very good. It's the only way you'll win. And she just like walks out. He's like, what? Wait, what?
No, do the Irish accent.
Oh, the Irish
embarrass
accent?
Yourself.
But no, he did the Brighton Pride. They loved his flavors, but none of his biscuits had the perfect bake. Some were overbaked and some were underbaked. Sandro made a tribute to both Africa and the UK, where he was born and raised.
His was beautiful.
It
like,
was.
Crazy. It reminds me of those mini golf, like windmills that have the crazy design, or just like any buildings that you like. It's awesome.
And it kind of sounded like the judges were giving him grief for that.
They were like, you made a lot here, didn't you, Sandro?
Right.
And I was like, what? Why are you talking about that? It's really cool.
Right. It was eclectic yet combined, which I thought you got to give him kudos for that. And they didn't. They acted like it was a bad thing.
Yeah, they were
the
like,
entire time.
Why did you do this? You are so silly.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it just looks like a shamble thing stacked together. And it's like,
what?
What? Like, you should be amazed
that
it's
standing. This is a sculpture.
Exactly. Yeah, you should be amazed that it's standing. But yeah, he had two different biscuits, one flavored with pistachio and raspberry. They tasted the raspberry, no pistachio. And then one with rhubarb and custard. He made an elaborate structure that included the entire continent of Africa, a Big Ben clock face, and the London Eye. He had done some red isomalt sugar work, but sadly, it fell off.
That was hard to watch. They just like filmed it on the floor.
Yeah.
And as the audience, you just have to sit there like,
oh. Yeah, it was. It was painful. Because he was saying, he's like, oh, I've got the red, I've got the white, I've got the blue. And then it was like.
The entire time they filmed him, he was working so hard on it.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to crumple it up once or twice. The caramel that he used to glue together the biscuits was overdone and almost burnt, and he agreed. He said, it's pretty burnt. However, they loved his flavors, and his textures were spot on. The biscuits were perfectly soft in the middle. He nailed it, and like I said, he is one of those people that I guess he just knows that little secret of, like, I am not going to taste it when it first comes out, because if I do, I'm going to think that it's perfect, and I'm going to be disappointed later. Like, I'm just going to let it go and go from there. Shabira made a very impressive structure. Like we said, the DNA made chromosomes. Her double helix structure was rose and pistachio flavored biscuits. Her structure was incredibly at the entire top structure was supported on the X-shaped chromosome biscuits. Her double helix format was supported only by thin biscuit rods. She had to balance it extremely carefully or else it could topple over. The first three practice bakes she had done failed. The judges were very impressed with her structure and loved her flavors. However, some of her biscuits were overbaked and not chewy in the middle due to them being so small. So, yeah, but she's got a leveler here. She's got gloves on. She's got the grater so that she can, like, perfectly put it there. Abdul excelled in the challenge. He made a rocket ship, lemon biscuits, including colored sugar stained glass windows, orange zest marzipan, which they loved because it tasted fresh. He added zest.
They were very happy about that. Yeah. They were like, oh, where did you get this?
Yeah.
He was just like, it's fresh.
Yeah, it's orange zest. I did it the raw, better way. And it's, yeah, included stars and astronauts. His bake looked amazing. His flavors were delicious. He achieved the chewy middle. The judges thought he had done a terrific job. In a way, I thought he was going to get a handshake. And I was like, oh, my God, Sandro.
But he didn't.
Yeah, Mr.
Moisturize. And honestly, I feel like he deserved one. Because the judges, if I was a judge, I would be like, you've come a really far way. And it's, like, awesome to just see you work and how persistent and strong you are throughout this entire experience.
But the results. It was a lovely sight to see the bakers hold hands in support as they waited for the results. Abdul won the first star baker, which was well deserved. Yeah. And they basically, what was it, Noel? He said, yeah, you still haven't won star baker. You still haven't done this. Yeah. So he did really well. He came a far way to make it to Star Baker. I was surprised when they gave him Star Baker because I thought Shabira was messing up and it was going to be like 4 weeks in a row for her. And I just thought, yeah, okay. I guess they threw him a bone maybe. I don't know. I that sounds bad.
It does. And it's kind of like maybe they did do that.
Maybe.
It wouldn't be surprising from a production end.
Yeah. And see, I got to go back because I think it might have been because of the technical. Yeah, Shabira was praised. Hold on, her mousse. Yeah, she got first place
in the technical. And then Abdul got second, and then in the first one...
Yeah, the signature, Abdul made tiramisu. They got on
right,
him.
Right, those were good.
That it was simple, and it wasn't quite up to patisserie standards.
Which was...
I think he got a bone thrown to him.
It's also like their process of judgment is a bit confusing at times.
It is.
It sometimes doesn't make sense.
And see, Shabira... Okay, her desserts were also very pretty and elegant. However, her blackberry and strawberry cheesecakes weren't quite set enough. So it sounds like they tied for the signature. Shabira came out on top for the technical, getting first. And then maybe the showstopper is what did it. And Abdul got it. And so...
It's like, it's not at all shade to Abdul. It's just concern that he isn't being praised in the way he deserves. Because, like... The judgment is, again, very confusing at times, and it's hard to sort of agree with the judges.
Yeah.
I agree that Abdul should have won the Starstopper. I still don't know the names. The Star Baking Challenge.
Yeah.
I think what he did was really good.
Yeah. And then, sadly, we had to say goodbye to Janus.
I wish I could have walked into the tent at that moment and been like, stop!
I know.
Yeah. I'm going to sue you.
And then act like you're part of the competition and you're like, listen, guys, I gotta take care of myself, so I will go home this week.
They're out of Janus's structure and I'm like, no, you can't do this. And I start handing them money and like jewels and jewelry and everything pretty. And they're like, actually, wait, maybe we should keep Janus.
Yeah.
Maybe
he should be around a little bit longer.
Maybe he should get a pass this time, like a golden ticket from the X Factor or whatever they call it. Yeah. Golden buzzer.
And, he did say from the beginning of the episode, he had said that patisserie was his weak point. Unfortunately, he just didn't meet the judge's high standards. Lynette, once again, knocking it out of the park with the best bits of the baking show.
Thank you, Lynette.
Host Noel Fielding leaving the tent during the technical challenge because Shabira told him to stay away whilst she was whisking her mousse. Anything I can do, yes, stay away. That's fine. Bye, Shabira. And he's like walking outside.
They do have a silly dynamic on screen. It seems like they're close.
Yeah. And then Janus, he was helping Shabira in the middle of her showstopper challenge. He took time away from his own bake to help her lift her structure. Yeah.
I'm upset.
Our bro Janus.
I didn't like this episode.
I know. Next week, the bakers will compete. In the final, we're down to the last three. Abdul, Sandro, Shabira. All people of color, for one. Two, I think that this could be probably the first final where, at this point, Sandro is kind of my top because I call him Mr. Moisturize. But I love Shabira's flavors, and I love Abdul's attitude. And I'm not going to lie, there is not a single one of them that if they won, I'm going to be like, no, like it should have been so-and-so. And that's happened in prior seasons where there's usually two out of three or one out of three that I'm like, I want them to win. And so if they do poorly, I'm like upset. I'm like, man, how? Like, you dropped the ball at the 1 yard line. Like, how could you do this? But this one, I'm not kidding. I think all three, I would be perfectly okay with them winning. Abdul, he's been, like I said, that silent stealth threat throughout this whole thing. But the showstopper just this last week, like I said, his attitude of not being too high or too low, I've liked it.
He is a strong competitor. He's very good under pressure. Yeah. Kind of like a diamond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hidden gem. But also should probably get much more credit than
totally
the filming has given him throughout the show. Because you see a lot of clips where he's struggling. And I know that's a part of the process, but it's also like, do you need to?
Right. Yeah. But no, I mean, I can't wait. I want to see what the final bakes are. Obviously, everybody, go to culinaryconvo.com. Sign up for our newsletter so you can get recipes for vertical tarts and for everything smart. Don't make them, though. Yeah, they're kind of weird.
We should shout out Nerds and Beyond.
Absolutely. Nerds and Beyond. Lynette doing the recaps.
Yeah, this series would not be possible without Lynette's reviews.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know Lynette. I'm just saying. She's doing amazing work.
I wish we could like give money or like compensation of like smiley faces.
Yeah, something. But yeah, definitely it's been great watching this season.
Hey, why don't you share the recap articles in your newsletter?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. I have them as the top link to nerdsandbeyond.com. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, definitely go check out the newsletter. You can get recipes, the articles, everything. You'll see what episodes are coming up and where they are going, the research behind them. I'm going to start including like cool videos that I find in my research, not just the articles themselves. So yeah, check it out. Obviously rate us, subscribe, follow, and rating us, believe it or not, it helps us get not only reviews to like add the numbers up, but it separates us from other podcasts that don't have anything. So do that.
It makes it sound like a blood battle.
What it is like it's an algorithm. Everything is.
Oh, no, yeah. Right? It's just like it's similar to the French Revolution and how there is like the three houses and like, oh, if we get one star, then we are promoted from the small house that doesn't get to speak at all.
Right.
I kind of don't like that it works like that.
Yeah, that's like with everything.
That's a different topic for another time or else this will turn into hours and hours of me just screaming.
Yeah. But anyways, like, subscribe, rate, follow, punch the notification bells. Make sure that you do a high kick,
I would advise just politely and gently clicking the button because punching promotes violence. And on this podcast, I think we should reinforce a policy that is very pacifistic.
As much as I agree with you on that.
Punch.
Yeah, we have two small furry boys that fight in the background.
Oh, yeah. We have a boxer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But anyways, everybody, we will see everyone for the final episode 10 of season 13, Great British Baking Show. Recap coming around on 3, 2, 1, Bake Off.
Have a good day and evening, everybody.
Yeah. And thank you, Marissa, for joining me on this episode.
Where's my money?
It's like in the mail, kind of. I had to call my bank. We'll get to that in a minute.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.